This morning, our reading for the sermon comes out of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now, if we look at our gospel story, you know, throughout all four gospels, there aren't very many stories about Jesus being young. In fact, there's only one here of his youth, of where he's found in the temple. You know, the family, the whole family, not just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but all the extended family had all traveled up to Jerusalem for the Passover to celebrate that holiday. And that's where we find this story here. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 41 of chapter 2 of Luke. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down and with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we look at this story here, you know, from Luke's gospel with our modern eyes, it's easy to look at some of the things that we would think are immediately a bit odd. And also maybe even get a little judgmental as well. For instance, take a look at Mary and Joseph. They were traveling, you know, with all their family. It would have been extended family, you know, aunts and uncles, you know, probably grandparents, you know, cousins, big group of people. Not unlike a lot of traveling that can take place, you know, in our lives or especially at the holidays. When you gather up and know everybody and you go somewhere, perhaps going to a grandparent's house or an aunt and uncle's house or a sibling's house, and you have the whole gathering of people right there. But when we look at this gathering, this holiday gathering, and we see that Mary and Joseph, you know, they're with the whole family and, you know, probably let Jesus kind of wander with the cousins and with the other relations. And then they realize after about a day, you know, we haven't seen Jesus around. And they wander a bit more. Then they get worried. And it took them 3 days to find Jesus. Now, if you can imagine this story in 2018, I mean, it would go totally different. Instead of 3 days, maybe been about 30 minutes, you know, of not sure where, you know, Jesus would have been. And other actions would have taken place, you know, in a much quicker timeline. But Mary and Joseph, you know, were with family. They were following a family tradition, a cultural tradition, a religious tradition of gathering together and going to Jerusalem for the Passover to celebrate, you know, that, you know, sacred and special holiday, a holiday of faith and of faithfulness on the part of God and of the people of Israel. Now, we look at this story as well. We can see Jesus there, you know, at a young age, and he has this conversation with his mother. Now, I think the scripture writers here, you know, kind of phrase all this in a very respectful way. But I know how I was at 12 years old, and I know how my mother is, and I don't think it would have been as calm of an exchange as, you know, printed here in the scriptures, you know, where Mary is asking, like, "No, child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." And then Jesus, you know, again, think of this as a 12-year-old, you know, rebuking back. "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" I mean, I can just picture this encounter right here. But yet, I love Mary's response to this. It's not one that's totally grounded in anxiety or frustration. She treasured all those things in her heart. The only other time that moment happened was a few verses prior at the birth of Jesus when the shepherds had come, and she treasured all those things in her heart. But for us, looking at this moment, this story here of Jesus, traveling with family, getting lost from family, being in the temple teaching and learning as well. Now, we can look at this scripture in a couple different ways. Really look at scripture as a whole. I like to look at scripture kind of with two lenses at times. Having a descriptive way to look at scripture where it's describing something or it's a narrative, describing the nature of God or describing Jesus or describing our faith, as opposed to a more prescriptive reading of scripture where the scripture is calling us to do something or instructing us or prescribing something for us to do in our faith. This story kind of lands more on that descriptive side, describing Jesus there in this story, but also how he was grounded in his faith tradition, how he was grounded in his cultural tradition, how he was grounded there with his family. And it's important for us to see this, for us to see how grounded he is in the faith, because later on in his ministry, when he was in his 30s, preaching and proclaiming the good news, people would accuse him of being blasphemous, accuse him of not being in the tradition of faith, being outside of it. And this story reminds us and the people of his day as well, who've been either hearing this story or a little bit later on hearing the gospel, that in fact, yes, Jesus was grounded in his faith tradition. He was grounded in that the practice and observance of being a faithful Jew, like his family members. But for us, I think when we're looking, where we are now in this season of Christmas, in this time where we are rejoicing, we are celebrating the birth of Christ, we're celebrating, God coming with us, in that stable of God, incarnate, God, taking on flesh, being with us. But yet also here at the end of the year, looking towards a new year, I see an opportunity for us in the scripture of a call, perhaps a little bit more on that prescriptive side, calling us to be grounded in our faith, calling us to be grounded in our traditions, calling us to be grounded in learning and growing in faith. Now, while it is the season of Christmas, I will admit, though, that this is a time of year where I'm not necessarily on a super tight schedule. There's a lot going, there's a lot that's been happening, a lot of coming and going and visiting a family. In fact, I saw a picture on Facebook that kind of described this. It was a simple drawing of stick figures. And in this drawing, you had one stick figure with a smiley face and a simple Santa hat on it. Said December, 1st through 26th, festive, enjoying the season. The next drawing of a stick figure was a stick figure, kind of had a straight line, didn't really have a smile, just two dots for an eye. And it said right below there, December 27th through January 1st, confused, not sure what day it is, and full of cheese. That describes about where I'm at. Right now, of enjoying, the food, just being on a totally different schedule, but also, I'm not sure what day it is today. Our animals, as we were leaving the house, were like, you haven't left this early in several days, why are you leaving today? But that's just a time of year that we're in. It's a different time of year. And I think that's okay. It's okay to be in a different time, a different mindset even. But I think as we're at the last Sunday of the year, here we are on December 30th, looking, back, back into 2018, of all that took place, all that happened, but also looking ahead to 2019. Now, I'm a big fan of the new year. Because it's a clean break on the calendar for us. It's a clean opportunity, I believe, for us to, you know, take stock of where we were this last year, of what took place. You know, perhaps some things were great, they were awesome in 2018, and we're looking forward, you know, to building on those things. Or perhaps 2018 was a year that was just not good. It was a year full of junk and just brokenness and difficulty. For some, you know, looking back is hard because it was a hard year. And it's totally good, I think, and acceptable and fine to acknowledge that, to say, you know, this year I'd like just to start new, have a clean slate. And I believe that new year break that we have here in the calendar, this new year, 2019, it is that opportunity for us to start fresh, to start healthy habits, to start, you know, ways of living that give us life. You know, it's an opportunity for us to throw off the things in 2018 that were not helpful. We can leave that on the old calendar and in the past. But as we're here looking ahead, and if you're looking for a healthy habit, a fresh way of being, and I believe for all of us as followers of Christ, when we look at this story of Jesus being grounded in faith, of learning and growing, and as we're looking ahead, I believe there's a call in there for all of us to be grounded in our faith, to be grounded in our traditions, and to grow in our faith. This is a great time of year to take on, you know, a spiritual practice. Perhaps, you know, we've been thinking, you know, how could I grow in faith? It's a great time of year to start a discipline of, you know, reading a little bit of the Bible every day, or perhaps reading a chapter or a week out of the Bible. There's all kinds of plans out on the internet you could look for and find, and I could help you find some too. Perhaps it's time to pick up a spiritual discipline such as praying, or perhaps you know, serving others, you know, helping at the food pantry, you know, McClave or Lamar, or wherever there's need. You know, here in Wiley at the clothes closet, the school, there's all kinds of ways in which we can be of service to others. And that's a way of being grounded in our faith. Or perhaps it's a time for us to embrace a different attitude, to embrace that joy and that hope that comes from Christ, to embrace the life that comes from God, perhaps to embrace kindness and gratitude into this new year, to lead with that instead of leading with anger or bitterness. I believe all these things can keep us grounded in our faith tradition, can keep us grounded in our God, and grounded in the hope and the love and the life that comes from Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as we're looking back at this story of Jesus there in the temple, of where he had gotten lost and away from his family, there's more of that story than it seems on the surface. There's a story of being grounded in hope, of being grounded in God, of being grounded in our great tradition and heritage of faith, a heritage and a faith that can carry with us, you know, through our difficult times, through our discouraging moments, through times when we feel like giving up. We're called to be grounded in hope and not brokenness, called to be grounded in life and not despair. So let's take example from that youthful Jesus and be grounded and to grow. Perhaps get a little lost in learning and growing as well. So we know and can experience the love that comes from God now and forever. Amen.